Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. The conversion of Saul is recorded in three places in the Word of God. It's recorded in Acts 9 and verses 1 through 18, Acts 22 verses 1 through 16, and in Acts 26 verses 12 through 18. What we're primarily in our study this morning focus on the accounts that are given in Acts 9 and in Acts 22, as we want to examine his case of conversion. A little bit of background first. We see that Saul was born in the city of Tarsus, Acts 21 and verse 39. He was most likely sent to the city of Jerusalem at an early age for his religious training. We do know that Saul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel in Acts 22 and verse 3. Gamaliel was a well-known teacher of the Law of Moses. He was a member of the Sanhedrin Council and was held in very high esteem by the people. Saul, who later becomes to be known as Paul, advanced well into Jewish religion. Paul makes mention of this in Galatians 1 and verse 14 when he says that he profited in the Jews' religion among many of my equals in my own nations. And he also points out that he was more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. In Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6, and also in a defense that he gives in Acts 26, verses 4 through 6. When Christ came, Saul rejected him. He chose instead to try and serve God under the Law of Moses. Saul was present, we know, at the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7, verse 58 points that out, and was in agreement with what was done to Stephen in Acts 8 and verse 1. We know that Paul also persecuted the church in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, and we know that he put many saints into prison, as Acts 26 and verse 10 points out. We find that Saul was not content with just persecuting the church at Jerusalem. The church at Damascus apparently had some success, so Saul decided to go there and to bring Christians from Damascus back to Jerusalem to be punished. And he had to receive permission, and certainly he obtained this permission to do this from the high priest, and with that he departed for Damascus. As he neared the city, a light came from heaven, and a voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Clearly, Saul was greatly confused at this point. Jesus, of course, the one that was doing the speaking, then identified himself. Saul, no doubt, in a very emotional state by this time, asked what he needed to do. And the Lord said in Acts 9 and verse 6, "Arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do." So Saul, who of course had been blinded by the light, had to be led into the city. And we find that he did not eat nor drink anything for 3 days, and he continued to be without sight. Finally, God sent Ananias to Saul. Ananias healed Saul of his blindness and told Saul in the passage there in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Saul then became a Christian, and he became an apostle. He was a faithful servant of God, and of course he is the writer of many of the books that are in the New Testament. We learn from this conversion that just any religion will not do. Before Saul's conversion, he was of the Jewish religion. This was a religion that was based upon a true revelation of God, that is, as God revealed his will to Moses, that became to be known as the law of Moses. Saul had been a very faithful to that religion that he was a part of and was brought up in. However, at this time, with the law of Moses being done away with, as we find in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14, that the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, Jesus took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross, Colossians 2:14. And so Saul can no longer be saved by the keeping of the law of Moses, for that law Jesus had fulfilled and nailed it to the cross, and through his death brings in the New Testament, the new will of Christ. Many people today think that most any religion will do. But this, however, is far, far from the truth. We must be a part of the church that Jesus died for. Many are a part of false, man-made religions which are not acceptable. Jesus made the statement in Matthew 15 and verse 13, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And also Jesus said in Matthew 15, back up in verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." See, today, not just any religion will do. It must be that which is according to God's word. We know from John chapter 4, we can read in verse 24, the statement that God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know from John 17 and verse 17 that God's word is truth. But it's a question of when was Paul saved? Was it while he was on the road to Damascus when the Lord first appeared to him, or was it later, after he was baptized in Damascus? Well, this is a question that has raised controversy, but it shouldn't be controversial, as the answer is clearly found in God's word. In Acts 9, verses 4, 5, and 6, we see that Saul did recognize that Jesus was God's son on the road to Damascus. While on the road, the light appeared and the voice spoke. Saul asked who it was, and the voice revealed that it was Jesus speaking. And Saul, as the verse says, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" It seems clear that at this point, Saul realized that Jesus was the Son of God. Was he saved at this point? Was he saved by simply accepting the fact that Jesus was God's Son? Note that he was not told, "Why, Saul, you do not have to do anything, as you now believe and are saved." No, that's not what Jesus said. Instead, Jesus tells him, "Arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do." See, the account of Acts 9 simply records that Saul arose and was baptized. But the account in Acts 22 gives more detail about what Paul had to do. Verse 16 of Acts 22 says that he was told, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So it's clear that Saul still had his sins, even though the Lord had appeared to him, even though Saul at that point was a believer, and even at that point, maybe he obviously had repented. He had been praying, and he had not eaten for 3 days. Why was this? Well, even though Saul was a believer, he had not been baptized, and thus he still had his sins. Therefore, Saul was not saved on the road to Damascus. He had not been baptized at that point, and surely no one would argue that he was saved still having sin. Sometimes it's argued from Acts 9 and verse 17 that Ananias called Saul brother previous to the time that he was baptized, and therefore they say that, well, he was a brother in Christ before being baptized. It's true that the term brother is used in the Bible to refer to Christians. However, it's also used frequently among the Jews to refer to their fellow Jews. We read of an instance in that in Acts 7 and verse 2, Acts 22 verses 1, and also Acts 2 and verse 29. So since it can be used both ways, how is it used here? Well, when Saul was referred to as brother, he still had his sins. We know that from Acts 22 and verse 16. That is, he was not saved. So this is because he had not been baptized. So without doubt, the term is used in the sense of nationality instead of being used in the sense of being a brother in Christ. Acts 22:16 is actually in perfect agreement with what the Bible has to say in other places about baptism. Acts 2:38 teaches that baptism is for the remission, the forgiveness of sin. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So all three of these passages are saying the basic same. Baptism is essential for salvation. So there's a lot to learn about the conversion of Saul. But as we study the conversion of Saul, we find that in all of these accounts of conversion, the Lord appeared to no one. He did not appear to me when, I was converted. Further, there's strong evidence that he did not appear to the writer. Why then did he appear to Saul? Some have thought that he appears to Saul to save him. If so, the Lord didn't know it. But when Saul asked, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Jesus said, "Arise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do." Acts 9 and verse 6. If Saul was saved, Ananias didn't know it, because when Ananias was sent to Saul, he told him, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," in Acts 22:16. Saul was still in his sins when Ananias came to him, and would still be in his sins until he obeyed Ananias' instructions. So Saul certainly was not saved on the road to Damascus. And any lost person today does not need to see the Lord to be saved. He should not wait hoping for some heavenly vision. If he will do what Saul did, he too will be saved. The Lord did not appear to him to save him, but the Lord appeared to him to make him an apostle. So the Lord did not save him, but he will save you and I today if we will do what Saul did, and that is arise and be baptized and wash away our sins. We see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day and return you to our announcer.